Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
How long ago, what month did I do the conference in North Carolina with William Vander Blumen?
That was in March, on March the 7th.
Wow.
We're doing another one in September.
Okay, so it's been 3 months since I've done that conference, and I am still getting feedback from William, the time that William and I had, I guess during the lunch lunch session. That was a lot of fun.
We're doing that again in September, September 7th in Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh, good. Am I going to be there?
Yes.
Okay.
Leadingchange.church, same conference.
Oh, it is me. It's my conference.
Same
good.
Thing. Yep. So William's joining us, got that all squared
William's
away.
William's coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Vander Blumen Search Group, for being our founding and continuing sponsor.
Yep. Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. And just to piggyback onto that conference, September 7th, Tallahassee, Florida, leadingchange.church. If you're in the Mobile, Alabama, South Alabama area, even South Georgia, come on over.
Yeah, absolutely.
South
Georgia
Florida.
In particular.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty close. Welcome back, Mike Harlan, director of Lifeway Worship, worship guru cum laude.
cool man.
Can you give me a doctorate? I want a doctorate. I don't want to have to work for it.
Sure, I used to give them away all the time.
Yeah,
to
give, you give me one. People call me Dr. Harlan. I say thank you.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We not too long ago, we talked about dealing with public distractions in worship. We're going to take a different twist this time. We're going to talk about dealing with private distractions. Tell us what you're talking about and let that segue into the longest Monday of your ministry.
Yes. Well, what I mean by private distractions are those things that aren't necessarily visible from the congregation, but are going on behind the scenes. Some of it is visible from the congregation, as this first point is, but things that can happen that are just completely unnecessary and become distractions to what should be happening in a worship ministry. And the point you bring up, the longest Monday of my ministry is an example of this kind of thing. This had nothing to do with the sound, didn't have anything to do with the lights, had nothing to do with the choir song, or was it a hymn or a chorus, nothing like that. But I got to my church one Monday morning, opened my email to about 30.
Whoa.
And the day would be filled with calls and emails, and it was all about what the cello player in the orchestra was wearing.
Or not.
I'm just going to leave it there. But and here's what's interesting. I had walked in. It was a large church, big choir, big orchestra. The cello player was nowhere near me. I don't even remember seeing this person. I mean, I know there
apparently 30 people did.
I probably saw, but up on the platform and all that, and apparently this young lady had
too much showing.
Needed more clothing, and that was the impression I had very early that Monday morning, and spent that day really. Think about what's a day worth for a staff member of a church who's in this high velocity ministry. And I spent that day trying to figure out what she had on and how I could stop that from ever happening again. So this talking point is all about what the people on the platform are wearing, which, believe it or not, you would think, okay, minister of music of a church or worship leader of a church, that's not his problem. As a matter of fact, there are some worship leaders that would say, that's not my problem. They're adults. They can decide what to wear. And I want to say, yes, it is your problem.
Because your email is going to be the one
that's
filled
up. Exactly, and you've got to deal with stuff like Tesco.
I don't like to one-up on stories.
Uh-oh.
And this is not necessarily a one-up.
Is this plant-splitting thing? Pants splitting?
No, that my own pants.
That was
split.
Quite a public distraction.
I've told this story before, and I know that Amy and Jonathan have heard it before. I got a request. We had Miss Alabama in our church, and she would later become Miss America.
Yes.
And she requested to give her testimony. And so what harm can that do? I mean, she'd done an incredible job in the Miss Alabama contest. And like I said, she later became Miss America. And I said, sure. And so we had Sunday evening services at the time. So I said, why don't we just give you like 15 minutes? You're Miss Alabama. Let's give you 15 minutes in the evening service. She said, fine. Her testimony was a dance.
Well, praise the Lord.
And it wasn't just a dance. It was a dance that required minimal dress.
Oh, my.
And the first thing, I didn't have to, we didn't have email back then, so I couldn't wait for email. But the first thing that happened was an elbow in my ribs.
From?
Nellie Joe.
She said, "Do you see what she's wearing?" I said, "Nothing." And I'm thinking, oh, no, that's not what I wanted to say. We had a deacons meeting uncalled.
Oh, my.
I mean, called. Yeah. Deacons
unplanned.
Meeting. Unplanned. There you go. Yeah. Call Deacons meeting after that to deal with the attire. And it was brief.
Oh.
Not the meeting, the attire.
Well, you know, this idea of dress code is one that church leaders often, we'd rather not talk about that. We want to talk about the great song, the great message, the great whatever. And this thing about dress code, especially today, more than ever, if a church doesn't, if they don't wear choir robes, let's say they don't have a choir, but they don't wear choir robes. Okay, now your little problem of five people just became a problem of 50 people. Yeah. And how you talk to your leaders that are on the platform, whether they're at an instrument, about what they're wearing. And I would tell any leader out there, it is your responsibility. No, you're not going to go to everybody's house and pick their clothes out. But you've got to be proactive about saying, here's what we look like on this stage. And I'm not talking about just color coordination or some kind of visual effect you're going for. That's not really my thing at all. I'm talking about eliminating the unnecessary things that can hamper a worship service that have nothing to do with the message or the songs. And it's and what people wear is a big – and I want to give a big piece of advice here. Early in my ministry, I knew I was going to have to deal with this, had to deal with it for off and on. And every church I served, I had a strategic partner in this. I had, and sometimes it was my wife, but more often than that, it was a person on my staff who might be a music associate or a trusted leader, female, who addressed this with females. And I never spoke to a female about what they were wearing, never. I would go to this person and say, "You need to speak with her. And we're having a problem, we need to address it." And I never would personally address that with a female, but I would have somebody that would. And this is something you can't let slide. You think, "I'm not going to confront that. I would maybe next week." No.
It's a distraction.
That's passive leadership. As a leader, you're responsible. You've got to pay attention to what people are wearing.
Guys, skinny jeans, you okay with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good choice, but it's not necessarily offensive. So
well, I know I've seen some of your people.
but that depends on the context. Yeah. I mean, if you're hymns sure, and robes sure. and stuff, and it just doesn't fit. So context has a lot to do with it.
If you've got a guest musician, you are not being disrespectful to that guest to tell them what the expectations on dress are.
Well, you do that with pastors. I mean, the guest speakers in churches. I mean, they're...
I know a church that had a guest speaker that's from a different culture, different part of the world, and he wears a hat everywhere he goes. And he came to lead worship at that particular church, and he had his hat on. Every time I've seen this guy, he has this hat on. And there, it would have been so, and it was disruptive to a lot of people in the worship that morning, and how unnecessary. It would have been very appropriate to say, "Hey, I see you have your hat on. Would you mind not wearing your hat this morning?" Even to a guest, and you can do that respectfully. And if that's offensive to somebody, they shouldn't be on your platform.
Yeah.
Because they've got another set of priorities that have nothing to do with worship.
Well, let's talk about the spiritual integrity of the platform in the social media age.
Well, here's something that is really, this is kind of a modern problem. It's a problem when the lady that steps out to do the solo on the featured song about the cross has posted all weekend all the pictures of what she's been doing. And what she's been doing is not door-to-door evangelism. Mm. it's not.
I don't know where he's going right now.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going.
It's just funny. It's just funny. That's all.
And in the social media age, a leader who is responsible for the private distractions, the unnecessary disruptions, has got a handle on what his leaders are doing on social media. He knows her. You're not stalking your people. That's not what I'm talking about here. And I'm not talking about wiretapping or anything like that. I'm talking about an awareness of how they present themselves in social media. And if they are presenting a life that cannot support what they're standing and singing in your church, you've got to deal with that as a leader, because there are people in your congregation. I mean, think about it. If a guest wakes up on a Sunday morning and says, I'm going to church today, and they get there and the person leading worship, singing the solo next to the minister of music, was the person they saw the night before, then you may have just lost the opportunity to influence that person.
Exactly.
So you've got to pay attention to
what I'm seeing on Facebook and other social media more than ever are political fights.
Absolutely. So unnecessary.
And, you know, I've addressed it here at Lifeway. I don't like to address those things, but we're representing a lot of believers. And we're also in front of a lot of non-believers. And so if we're out there expressing strong political views that are offensive to one side or the other, it is absolutely a negative testimony against us. That's one issue that I would be looking for as well.
Yeah, here's something I do, Dr. Rainer. I'm very fortunate to be an adjunct faculty at Liberty University. I go in and teach on Friday nights and Saturdays, and go in on off-cycle times, and I teach in the Artist Development Program. I have so much fun on Facebook Day. Because here's what I do, and I always tell my students every semester, don't tell anybody else about this day, because I don't want the future classes to miss this. But I will say, hey, I need everybody, would you bring up your Facebook page? And they think I'm about to talk to them about how they can use Facebook.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Help. Yeah. So bring up your Facebook page right now, and everybody has their computer out, and they bring their Facebook. Okay, well, let's one at a time. Hey, Julie, you come up here. We're going to put her Facebook up here, and we're going to look at it together. And just see how she and I mean, kids, the rest of the class is just
delete.
They're grabbing pictures, they're grabbing stuff. And then I stop and say, okay, I'm not going to do that. But if you don't think that every church that's ever going to invite you as an artist and every person that's ever going to interview you for a job, if you ever apply for a job at Lifeway Worship, I'm looking at your Facebook page.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your Instagram. And by the way, if you're singing on my worship team at my church, there are people in our congregation that are watching you on social media, and I can't have inconsistency. And so I wouldn't recommend that a person just start trolling their people, but I would recommend a meeting that says, hey,
You don't have to troll. You're going to find
exactly.
If you're a leader, you're going to find out.
You're going to find
out. That's what happened. I get those cards and letters digitally all the time.
But I would say to my team, hey guys, I'm aware that many of you have social media presence, and if you're going to be a leader on this team, here's my expectations for you, and spelling that out so that people aren't caught off guard by what they put in social media.
It's just a Christian thing to do.
Sure.
The stumbling block issue applies on social media, and sometimes we just don't get that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I agree.
Yeah. It has a lot to do with accountability of leadership.
Yeah. Well, and as a leader, if you're leading a ministry in church, you're accountable. You better be to a lot of people, accountable to your pastor, accountable to leaders in the church. You want the people that are serving with you in the ministry to be accountable as well, not just to you, but to each other, to the church at large. Maybe they are a volunteer. Maybe they're paid. What doesn't really matter. If they're going to serve, they're in a place of service. They have an accountability to the leadership of that church in these areas about off-platform distractions, and a rhythm of accountability along those lines in a worship team is a healthy thing, and there is nothing wrong in the world with, in Christian love, sitting down with someone and saying, hey, for this next season, until you get this issue cleared up and under control, we're going to have to put you over here and not use you quite the same way. But we want you. There's a path back. We want to be redemptive. There's always going to be grace. We're not talking about judgmentalism. We're talking about spiritual accountability among leadership. And it's two different things, and it can be done. And I would say, Dr. Rainer, a church leader that's unwilling to hold the people they lead accountable in leadership is a church leader that's not leading very well and probably not being as effective in doing what God's put them
there
to do.
Wow, that's good. That is good. Let's talk about the spiritual leadership of the worship leader, Mike.
Well, if all I ever do with my team is talk to them about quarter notes and eighth notes and rest, if I can't speak and articulate a spiritual message and leadership and a vision where that with credibility, I'm not just reading a devotional thought, but with credibility, I'm a growing disciple myself. I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer. I'm human. I'm going to mess up. But I've got a flow of spiritual development in my own life, and I model that, and I lead that way. And when I have spiritual leadership, I've got spiritual credibility, and I can address these kind of distractions spiritually. Not just, these people aren't making me mad. I'm not trying to get even. And it's not that. It's not this human kind of accountability. It is a spiritual accountability where we call people back to prayer and to focus with intentionality. The phrase I use a lot, even on my team here at Lifeway Worship, close and clean. Let's walk close before the Lord and clean before the Lord as He gives us the power to do so. And let's stay focused in the personal areas of our lives that could be disruptive to the work that He's called us to do. And that cadence of language and routine of spiritual leadership should be a regular part of any church leader's life.
Tell us about, you gave the longest Monday of your ministry. tell us about, without naming names or naming churches, give us an example or two about some more private distractions that have taken place.
Had a soloist in one of my churches who had a horrible attitude, just horrible. Didn't like the pastor, didn't like the deacon chairman, didn't like me, didn't like, and really felt like it was someone that had been there a long time, almost a kind of a charter member kind of a thing. It was a real young church, an entitled, she wasn't in Sunday school, she wasn't, she'd show up choir, not choir, but she'd get mad if I didn't give her a solo. Just a raunchy attitude. And people are, sometimes people get around the diva personality and accommodate it. Thinking that's keeping the peace. That doesn't keep the peace when you accommodate a diva. It actually disrupts everybody because her attitude was conspicuously obvious. That's redundant, but it was conspicuous. So any accommodation a leader would give a person like that is disrupting the entire thing. So lovingly pulling that person aside and saying, let's talk about what your expectations are and what you want to be true for you to feel fulfilled in this ministry. Let me tell you what mine are. And after that meeting, we agreed that she was in the wrong church.
Wow.
And I said, well, because she laid out her expectations, and I said, I'm never going to meet those expectations. And I laid out my expectations. She said, I'm never going to meet those. And I said, there's a great church right down the road here that
probably
needs your talent.
Well, thanks, Mike. There's a pastor that loves you
right
now. I'm
sorry. But I tell you what, my choir didn't – I didn't lose any choir members over that. I gained a few.
Ooh, I can imagine.
Because folks went, okay. And you know what? I love this quote from Lou Holtz. It's one of my favorite quotes. I've shared it with Eric.
Make sure you have a little saliva as you
speak. I need to spit as I say this. Lou Holtz was asked one time, and I saw an interview where this happened. He was asked, how do you motivate your teams? Coach Holtz, this was when he was at Notre Dame, your teams are so motivated, and they come out and they play with such motivation. How do you motivate your team? He said, that's the easiest job I have as a coach. He said, the way I motivate my team is eliminate everybody that's not motivated.
Ooh, wow.
And he said, that motivates everybody. And I tell you what, there's a such thing in music ministry, some blessed subtractions. And if
it has application a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah, not just music ministry.
And I've prayed more than one piano player off the bench. I have. And because there was an attitude and there was a disposition that was disruptive. And you do that discreetly, you do it in love, but you don't acquiesce your responsibility as a spiritual leader by cowing down to those kind of attitudes that are completely disrupting and distracting in your ministry.
Sounds like some leaders, worship leaders, pastors, need a bit of courage.
A little bit. Yeah.
That sounds like that's missing in many situations.
And
there.
It's not vindictiveness. It's not anger. It's actually love.
It's leadership.
It's leadership. And it's love. You're not loving anybody when you let them live like that.
Well, the application always applies because you think of your relationship with your children. Mm-hmm. If you are not putting them on a corrective path, you're not demonstrating love to them, and the results will show in the future. By the way, just one little aside. My pastor is my son, my youngest son. Mm-hmm. I was in community group last night, and I don't know how this came up. Someone said, did you ever spank Jess, Pastor Jess?
Oh, my.
They said they're trying to imagine that
now. Yes, they're trying to. Now, so, Dr. Rainer, do you feel accountability to your pastor?
I do. I actually do.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have a relationship with my son that is beyond being a son, and I go to community group because my pastor expects me to go to a community group. I'm an introvert, and I'd rather go to a corner and put my nose there. But he says it's good for the church, and so I am accountable to him, and I go there.
That's awesome.
If I am gone for any reason, I don't let him know as my son. I let him know as my pastor. I didn't always do that with Mike Glenn when I was at Brentwood, mm-hmm. but I would on occasion when he'd say, I hadn't seen you in a while. So yeah. You don't see a lot of people, dude. But yes, I fell in accountability to my son.
Yeah.
My pastor.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I got a question on the last point you made there. And really, I'm probably oversimplifying this, and I'll caveat it that way. But do worship leaders feel more trepidation when they confront someone because, you know, a lot of times the worship leader, they see themselves as, you know, sometimes the most disposable person on staff. You know, it seems like worship leaders get cycled through a lot more than other staff positions.
That hurts, Jonathan. I mean,
I'm oversimplifying this thing, but you understand what I'm saying.
The question. Well, I think that entirely depends on what they see their role to be. If they are there as a hired gun musician to perform and lead songs and sing, they're not likely going to be good at this. They're not going to try to be good at it. They don't see themselves that way. But if they understand that they are a pastor, that they are a shepherd. Now, they're not the shepherd. That's the senior pastor. And by the way, any of these kind of actions would be done in consultation with him and with other staff for accountability on that. You don't ever want this to become personal. But if that person in that role sees themselves and understands their shepherding responsibility, they will look at these kinds of things as sheep that need correction and need their attention as a shepherd. So if they see themselves as a shepherd, they probably are willing to do this. They won't love doing it, but they'll be willing to do it because they love the sheep first. But if they see themselves as a singer, they'll go to another church before they'll do that.
We have had a series of podcasts over the last several weeks with Mike Harlan.
I really enjoy these.
I know.
I get to talk to him.
Yeah, instead of me.
Yeah.
I know why you enjoy these a whole lot more. They have been rich. They have been informative, and they have helped the local church. Once again, Mike, thanks so much. You'll continue to be a guest because you're good and you're free, and we'll keep asking.
And the downloads spike when he comes in.
Yeah, the downloads do spike when Mike's up.
You're kind.
Thank you, Midwestern Seminary. Love having you as our sponsor. Love having you over these last several months, and the relationship is continuing to grow. We appreciate everything that's happening at Midwestern.
Yeah, going on 18 months now with Midwestern sponsoring the podcast here. They are one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America, and they exist to train leaders for the church. The local church is God's plan A for the proclamation of the gospel, and there is no plan B, and that is Midwestern's vision and heartbeat, equipping pastors and other ministry leaders who are called to expand God's mission in the world through the local church. At Midwestern Seminary, they train leaders for the church. Visit them online at mbts.edu and begin your ministry training today. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I have told you and Amy that I'm going to try to slow down on my ideation.
He's a funny man.
No, I'm trying to slow down so that we can catch up just a little bit. But there is something I want to do, and it came in the form of a request. They said, if you could ever package in a single package all your podcast interviews with Mike Harlan and have a worship package, I want us to make that a project sometime in 2017.
Okay.
I don't want to make any promises that we can't keep. But I would love for pastors, worship leaders, entire staff to go on a retreat and just deal with some of the...
It's pretty simple for me to do that, actually, because I can take the posts because they're all keyed and everything. So I can do that. And I'll put that on tomrainer.com/worshipguru. And you'll be able to find all the podcasts with Mike Harlan. So tomrainer.com/worshipguru, all one word, and we'll make that happen.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. Thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.